All right, Shabbos, say good morning. Let's begin to thank our Talmud Torah sponsors for the month of Kislev, to thank Josh and Becca Friedman for dedicating all the learning this month, Le'ili Nishmas, Josh's father, Yisrael Yehuda ben Arav Chaim Rifal, on the occasion of his first Yahrzeit, and to Sammy and Malka Esterson for dedicating all the learning this month, Le'ili Nishmas, Malka's parents, Ludwig Stiefel, Yitzchak Leib and Aaron HaKohen, Sarah Stiefel, Sarah Rachel, Bas Baruch Avram, and Sammy's mother, Hinda Esterson, Hinda Bas Henich Ephraim. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, the Neshamas will have an aliyah, and the family in Nechama, families in Nechama. Rabosei, with that, let us begin. So we left off yesterday. Today's daf is Mem Aleph. We left off on Mem Aleph Amud Aleph. Three lines out from the top. So also just to reorient ourselves a little bit, we began yesterday in a very interesting discussion regarding Yotzei Dofen, that what happens with a cesarean birth, what is the status and implication of that birth on Hilchos Leida, or more importantly, again, three parts. Remember, again, when we see Hilchos Leida, we really refer to three parts of Hilchos Leida. Number one, Yimei Tuma, days in which she is Tame. Number two, Yimei Tara, days in which she is tar, even if she bleeds. And number three, the obligation to bring a carbon. So fundamental machlokes in the Mishnah, what happens if a woman delivers a baby via C-section? Ultimately, again, is she subject to the halachos of Leida or not? So remember again, we have the Rabbanon who say no. Halacha l'maisa, the din of Leida is a din in natural birth. We have Rabbi Shimon who says it is karizek yalud. Ultimately, again, the birth of a baby C-section gives the woman all regular Hilchos Leida. So we got caught up yesterday in a statement by Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan said that Rabbi Shimon, even Rabbi Shimon who holds that Yotzei Dofen is a regular Leida, will agree in a case ultimately of Kadshim. Kachim of a sacrificial animal that ultimately, again, an animal born, we'll discuss the parameters of that, but an animal born via C-section does not have Kiddusha Saguf, does not have physical sanctity, but at most can possess monetary sanctity, which means, again, its value is pledged to the Beis HaMikdash, but the body of the animal itself is not physically consecrated. So the Gemara tried to prove that particular point by going on a pretty significant detour. That detour took up all of Ahmed Bey's yesterday, but led the Gemara ultimately again to the conclusion that what? So the Katani Mihas, which is where we pick up today, Katani Mihas, we'll say, out of this whole discussion yesterday that came from Rabbi Yochanan, Katani Mihas, Yotzei Dofen Delo. We'll say, what do you see from this whole discussion that we saw in yesterday's daf? That ultimately, again, an animal that is Yotzei Dofen does not possess physical sanctity. So remember again, just to give you the context, the discussion that we were having yesterday on Amud Beis was, what happens if you have an animal that is unfit, that was inadvertently placed on the Mizbeach? So do you go ahead and remove that animal once it's been placed? Or do we say once it's left on there, ultimately again, you leave it on there? So that again was subject to machlokes. Rabbi Shimon had a very expansive view, and Rabbi Shimon essentially said, well, following, Rabbi Shimon explained that halacha lemaisa, any animal, shepisula bakodesh, right? Rabbi Shimon said, any animal that the invalidation was caused as a result of something in the sacrificial process, if you inadvertently put that animal on the Mizbeach, you leave it there. Versus an invalidation that occurred because of something before the sacrificial process, if you inadvertently place the animal on the Mizbeach, you would take it off. But the idea that came out of there is that, again, cesarean section would be an example of an invalidation that occurred prior to the sacrificial service, and therefore, halacha l'maisa, if you inadvertently place that animal on the Mizbeach, halacha l'maisa, what says Rabbi Shimon? Take it down. So you see from here that what? That an animal born, that a Yotzei Dofen animal does not have Kiddushas Haguf. That was the idea, supporting Rabbi Yochanan's interpretation of Rabbi Shimon on Memon Amud Aleph. To which the Gemara says, my love, Yotzei Dofen, the Kachim, are we not speaking about Yotzei Dofen of Kachim, Amrafun Rav Nasan, lo, Yotzei Dofen de Bukhar? Maybe not. No, Perhaps again, the case that Rabbi Shimon is referring to is the case of Yotzei Dofen of Bechar, that halacha l'maisa, what happened over here, that if you have a Bechar that was born Yotzei Dofen, and you inadvertently, and therefore Rabbi Shimon is saying, that animal does not possess Bechar sanctity. Says the Gemara, Yotzei Dofen of Bechar, Bechar, bipetarechem nafka. So say, remember again, in yesterday's daf, there was also a whole discussion about mi'utim. Zos toras ha'ola, hi ha'ola. So remember again, we had three different mi'utim of zos, hi, and ha'ola. So the Gemara was discussing what Rabbi Shimon was darshaning from the word zos, to which the Gemara says, I don't need a drasha to teach me that a bechar that is a yotze dofen doesn't have kiddushas bechar. Why not? Because when it comes to bechar, I have an explicit pasuk. What's the explicit pasuk? Petarechem. Torah goes out of his way to say that the Bechor has to be the opening of the womb, to which the Gemara says, so therefore, obviously, a Bechor that's Yotzei Dofen doesn't have Kedushas Bechor. Elamai de Kodshim, rather, says the Gemara. So Elamai, rather, what do you have to say? What's being excluded over here? De Kodshim. Rabbi Shimon must be coming to exclude Halacha Lamaisa, an animal, a Kodshim animal, a sacrificial animal, that was born Yotzei Dofen, that it does not have Kedushas Haguf. To which the Gemara says, me imo nafka. To which the Gemara says, well, again, kachim, I can learn that from the gzeir shav of imo. Right? It says imo, we saw in yesterday's daf as well. It says imo by bechar. It says imo by kachim. Just like by bechar, if it's yotzei dofen, it does not have kiddush asagof. So too by kachim. If it's yotzei dofen, it doesn't have kiddush asagof. To which the Gemara says, hi, mai. I amrit bishlama de kachim hainu dit strichi trei kroi. So now watch this. So what the Gemara is now suggesting is as follows. It could very well be that we have two psukim, both that teach us, when we see psukim, we mean two sources, both which teach us that kachim that are born yotzei dofen do not have kiddushas haguf. Now why would you need two psukim, both to teach me kachim? I'll tell you why. Bishlama de kachim hainu dit strichi trei kroi. So also remember again, it makes sense if you tell me that by kachim I have two limudim that teach me that what? That Yotzei Dofen doesn't have kiddush hasaguf. And I will say, what are those two limudim? Number one is zos. Number two is the gzer shav of imo from Bechor. Why would I need two? Watch this. The Gemara says, chad lebehima schulin de olid derech dofen va'akadsha. V'chad lebehemas kachim da'ole derech dofen v'kasavar v'lados kachim bav yasen egidosh. We'll say, watch this. This is fascinating, and I know that you were thinking about this from the moment that ultimately, again, we read Rabbi Yochanan's interpretation of Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Yochanan said that what? Rabbi Yochanan said Rabbi Shimon holds that Allah Chalamai is an animal that's born, a kachim animal that's born yotzei dofen, doesn't have kiddusha saguf. We'll say, what was the avi shal you were thinking about? What kind of animal is that? Right? What are we talking about over here? Remember, when we speak about a kachim animal, there are two different types of kachim animals. There's an animal that was born a chulin animal and was sanctified. And then there is an animal that was born to another animal that already had sacrificial sanctity. So I'll say, so watch this. Rabbi Shimon comes along and says, we need two drushas to teach me that both of these types of animals neither possess kedusha saguf when born yotzei dofen, which means as follows: that halacha lemaisa, if you have an animal that was a regular animal, a chulin animal that was born yotzei dofen, one drasha teaches me that what? That halacha lemaisa, that animal can never be consecrated as a karban; it is unable to acquire kedusha saguf. Second drasha teaches me that what? That halacha lemaisa, under normal circumstances, when, let's say, a carbonic animal gives birth, that animal has carbonic sanctity. But halacha lemaisa, if the carbonic animal birthed its offspring through a yotzei dofen, ultimately, again, that offspring does not have kiddushas haguf, does not have sacrificial sanctity like its mother. And this would mean v'kasavar, because Rabbi Shimon holds, v'lados kachim, the offspring of sacrificial animals, behavyasan hein kiddushin, ultimately, again, become kadosh when? Upon their birth. Shabbos. I said, this then would tell me, it's really quite fascinating, this then would explain to me why it is that I need two drushas to teach me the same thing. Because halacha, well, at least it seems like the same thing, because halacha l'maisa, it's two different cases, right? One is a case of a chulin animal that became kaddish, and therefore one drusha teaches me that if that animal was born, a chulin animal born yotzei dofen, cannot acquire sacrificial sanctity. And second halacha teaches me that even if the animal was born to a mother that was already carbonically sanctified, if that offspring was a yotzei dofen, that offspring does not retain its mother's sacrificial sanctity. Elo, I itmar de bechar. But if you want to say that Rabbi Shimon is simply referring to a Bechar animal, and tell me that a Bechar animal, if born Yotzei Dofen, does not have Bechar sanctity, I don't need any drasha for that. That's a Mufurusha Pasik. Mi Patarechem Nafka. Well, so the Pasik is quite explicit in its discussion regarding Bechar, teaching me that what? That Halacha L'maisa. If the animal is not petarechem, then what? Then ultimately it does not have Bechor sanctity. Hachinai mistabat, which the Gemara says, you're right. The truth is we like this interpretation. That in fact what? That in fact Rabbi Shimon is really referring to two different types of animals. One type of animal which is a chulin animal that you are then sanctifying. The second type of animal ultimately that's what? That is born to a sacrificial animal. And Rabbi Shimon is teaching me that halacha l'maisa, either of these two animals, if they are a yotzei dofen, do not acquire sacrificial sanctity. So the Gemara says, Hachinami mistabru. Everybody shouldn't say sacrificial sanctity. We'll call it physical sanctity. Hachinami mistabru, this would appear to be clear. Mediktani, because after I remember again, what else was included in this list of Rabbi Shimon? Haroveya, Vahanirva, Vahamukhtza, Vahanevad, Vahakilayim. So just remember again, included in the list of things that according to Rabbi Shimon, that if you place them on the Mizbeach, you take them off afterwards, were the case of the animal that's sodomized, was sodomized, set aside for Avodah Zarah, worshipped for Avodah Zarah, or Kilayim, some type of forbidden mixtures of species. Honey, Mehachanafka, ultimately, again, I will say, are these learned out from the word Zos? Mehasam Nafka, ultimately, again, they're learned out from a different drasha. Which drasha? Minha Behema. So we'll say, listen to this. So they learned that actually from a different drasha. We've seen this before. The Pasuk says as follows. Dabri al b'nei Yisrael v'amart alehem. Speak to the Jewish people and say unto them, Adam ki yakriv miken karban la'ashem. If a person amongst you will offer up a karban to Hashem. Now, listen to the wording of the Pasuk. Minha Behema, min habakar, min hatzon, takrivas karbanchem. Also, we've seen this drasha before. Min means from what? Right? Or min means, right? From. From the behema, from the bakar, from the tzon. So the Gemara is already dashed, and the Rebbe said that lashon of min means what? That there are some bakar, some tzon, some behema that can go ahead and be offered, but not all behema, bakar, and tzon. Comes to exclude. So the Gemara says, mina behema, what does it come to? The Gemara gives a drasha. Mina behema, lahotzi haroveya. So we'll say, mina behema comes to exclude what? An animal, meravia venirva. Animal that's sodomized or was sodomized. Mina bakar, lohotzi es hanevat. That comes to exclude ultimately an animal that was worshipped for Avodah Zarah. Mina tzon, from the tzon. Lohotzi es hamukhtza. To go ahead and exclude an animal set aside for idolatrous service. Umina tzon, and above here we have an additional drasha. Because not only does it say mina tzon, but it says what? Uminatzon, that extra vav, v'hotzi es hanogeach, to go ahead and exclude an animal that gores, v'su, furthermore, kelayim mehaka nafka, is kelayim learned out from here? Mehasa nafka, kelayim learned out from a different drasha. What's the drasha for kelayim? Shor, o kesev, o eiz. So we'll say the positive says, shor, kesev, eiz. Shor, prat le kelayim. So we'll say, shor comes to exclude kelayim. We'll say that halokha l'maisa, if you have an animal that is a mixture of other animals, you did some crossbreeding. Rashi says, mina eiz or mina kevesh. You go ahead and you crossbreed a ram and a sheep. Right? So we'll say, salocha lamaisa, that resulting offspring cannot be used for sacrificial purposes. Oeiz, the lashon of oeiz, prat linidme. We'll say, if remember again, we saw nidme actually in our chulin days. If you look at Rashi, nidme, aviv v'imo min ha'ez v'hu keves. So I'll say, interestingly enough, this is where the parents are of the same species, but for some reason the offspring looks different. looks different. The chivin dinafki mihasam the lokachi lama the limiuti meachav the yardu ha'chul and inu. So as I said, the Gemara says as follows. Ella it's strichu treikrai. Therefore, we'll say, what do you see from here? You see from here that halacha lamaisa, we need two psukim. We need two different drashas. Why do I need two different drashas? Chad lebehemas chulin, v'chad lebehemas kodshim. So we'll say, what you begin to see is that in a lot of these cases, you have two parallel drushas, right? Addressing really two different groupings of animals. What are the two different groupings of animals? So we'll say, whenever you want to exclude a particular animal from sacrificial service, we begin to see a theme, but like a model, that you seem to have repetitive drushas, to which the Gemara says they're not repetitive. They're referring to two different categories of animals. What are the two different categories of animals? One is a chulin animal that you want to sanctify, and the second is the offspring of an animal that already has sacrificial sanctity. So we'll say, anytime you find an exclusion for an animal from sacrificial service, we're always going to have these two different drushas. So anytime an animal is excluded from sacrificial service, there's two drushas. One drusha teaches me that the animals that if the animal is chulin, it cannot be consecrated as a carbon. And another drasha teaches me that even if this animal was born to a mother that already has sacrificial sanctity, this particular offspring does not retain it. Hachinami, so too over here by Yotze Dofen, it's trich trei kray. So too over here, when it comes to Yotze Dofen, we're also going to have these two drushas. So what's happening over here, just so you understand, is that we are supporting the position of Rabbi Shimon. That even Rabbi Shimon, who says in the Mishnah that Yotze Dofen is a bona fide Leda, right? That a cesarean section is a bona fide Leda, will agree that in the case of animals, such an animal does not possess sanctity. What type of animal are we referring to in Rabbi Shimon's mouth? What type of animal doesn't possess sanctity? Two different possibilities, two different animals. What it means is either A, an animal that was chulin, and if that animal was a Yotze Dofen, that animal cannot be sanctified with Kiddusha Sagof, physical sanctity, or even if the mother already had sacrificial sanctity, physical sanctity, and gave birth to a baby Yotze Dofen, that offspring does not retain its mother's physical sanctity. Two different drushas of Rabbi Shimon. Good. Tan Rabban. Pasuk Gemara goes weiter. Hamikasha shloshi yama v'yatzav la derech dofen. This is a very interesting case. So what happens if halacha lemaisa? So we've seen this case before. Rashi says, Hamikasha gimel yamim bimei ziva v'ra'a sadam kol shlosha derech rechem. So we'll say, now watch this. A woman is in labor for 3 days. Now we'll say, now remember again, Habzi, these 3 days are during her days of zivus, right? During the days where if she were to see blood under normal circumstances, she would become a zava. So we'll say, so remember again, we know the halacha because we've seen it before. If a woman bleeds and that bleeding results in a birth, then ultimately, again, that blood is not considered dam ziva. That blood is considered to be dam leda, right? So for example, if a woman were to go ahead and have bleeding for 3 days, during the days of her zivus, but would then give birth, she would not be a zava gidola. Rather, again, she would be a woman who gave birth. Right? That would be the halacha. So watch this interesting case. So amekasha shlosh yamim v'yatza vlad derech dofen. And we'll say, what happens in the following situation? What happens if halacha l'maisa, she was in labor for 3 days, which means she bled 3 days. We're assuming over. She bled 3 days, but then ended up delivering her baby, Yotze Dofen. So we'll say, so now the shaila is, what's her status vis-a-vis Zava? So what's the halacha? Hare zu yoledes bezov. Ultimately, again, she is considered to be yoledes bezov. She's a Zava Gidola. Look at Rashi. The yotzav la derech tofen hare zu yoledes bezov. Kilomar, Zavahi, dechitia rachmana meziva damakoshi, hani mili beleidam al yosa. Aval derech tofen lav leidi. So we'll say, watch this. So the Tanakam and the Rabbanon say, listen, when do we say that if a woman bled 3 days during her Yemei Zivos, that she doesn't become a Zava Gidola? That's when that bleeding results in a normal birth. But in this case where the bleeding did not result in a normal birth, rather it resulted ultimately in a Yotze Dofen, then what? Then halacha lemaisa, she is a zava gedola, right? That's not called dam leida. That's called dam zivus, and therefore halacha lemaisa, she's a zava gedola. Rabbi Shimon says ein zu yoled des bezov. Rabbi Shimon says no, this is not called yoled des bezov. Ultimately, again, that is considered to be blood from leida. Rashi says ein zu yoled des bezov. Rabbi Shimon tamei dam reyotzei dofen v'amalyu umataris kishov. Supposed to remember again, this is not a chiddush. This is just the Mishnah. It's the same thing as the Mishnah. Rabbi Shimon is saying that Yotzei Dofen, cesarean section, has the halachos of a normal, regular birth. And therefore, halacha lemaisa, when she bled for 3 days, that's called active labor, even though, again, it didn't result in a normal, quote-unquote, normal birth, natural birth, but instead resulted in the Yotzei Dofen, halacha lemaisa, she is not a yoledes bezov. Furthermore, v'dam hayotzei misham tamei, and blood... We'll see what this means, Rashi says. We'll see what this means later on. And blood that comes out is tame. Rabbi Shimon says the blood that comes out, ultimately, again, is tahar. We'll see what that means in just a moment. So, So the first part of this braisa makes sense. Right? The truth is, Rabbi Shimon, the first part of the braisa is just another restatement of our Mishnah. What are they arguing about? What they're arguing about is, what is the nature of a Yotzei Dofen birth? That's fundamentally what they are discussing. What happens when a woman delivers via Yotzei Dofen? The Rabbanon will say it's not a birth. It doesn't halachically have the status. Don't say that to a woman who delivered via C-section, by the way. It doesn't have the status of a halachic status of a leida. And therefore what? If she bled for 3 days during her yemei zivus, leading up to that leida, she is a zava gidola. That's the Rabbanon. Rabbi Shimon, no. Yotzei Dofen is a regular birth. And therefore what? Halacha lemaisa, that bleeding leading up to the Yotzei Dofen birth, halacha lemaisa has the din of a dam leida, not dam ziva. Therefore she is a yoledes. So I will say, so Reishu Rabbi Shimon Latame, Rabbanon Latamayu, Elva Seifa my Pligi. So I will say, but the Shaila is, what about the Seifa? So remember again, the Seifa said that the Rabbanon say that the blood is Tame, and Rabbi Shimon says that the blood is Tar. What are they arguing about? What's the discussion? So I'm Rabbanon Bosei, watch this. Kigon, Sheyatza Vlad Derech Dofen. What's the case of Rabbi Bosei? So first of all, look at Rashi for just a moment. Elva Seifa my Pligi. So what's the story with the blood? So when the Braisa said that according to Rabbi Shimon, the blood ultimately again is going to be tar. According to the Rabbanan, the blood is tame. What's happening over here? Kigon sheyotza vlad derech dofen. So what's the case? The baby came out cesarean section, right? Yotzei dofen. What about the blood? Amud beis v'dam derech rechem. So Rabbi said this is very interesting. So the baby came out yotzei dofen. The blood came out naturally, right? The blood came out ultimately again through the rechem. The blood exited. The baby was a cesarean section, but the blood exited the body vaginally. So the Gemara says, "V'dam derech rechem v'shloshi simeach rachem kirashi tap Rashi amadeis v'dam derech rechem v'shloshi simeach koshi koldem leida." So we'll say now, watch this. During the 3 days leading up to the birth, where she's in labor, so the blood is exiting the body in the natural way. So we'll say, see now, this is very interesting. So the blood during the 3 days leading up to the birth is exiting the body in the quote-unquote natural way, but the baby ultimately comes out Yotzei Dofen. So the Shaila now is, what's the status of the blood? So look at Rashi, Dam Derech Rechem, Va'omer Rabbanan Dezivahi, Delo Metar Levlad, Delav Ledehi, Rabbi Shimon Metar Letame, Holovi Me Zivahain, V'dam Koshi Bime Ziva Rechmona Tare. So I say, so now watch this. Now we begin to understand. So the Rabbanon will say that blood that comes out is what? Is Tamei. Because according to the Rabbanon, what's the status of that blood? That's Dam Ziva. Right? That's Zivos blood. So therefore, again, that conveys Tumah. According to Rabbi Shimon, ultimately, again, that's not Zava blood. And the truth is, it's not even Nida blood. That's Dam Leda. That's damlita. That's what they mean when they say it's tar. Obviously, I will say again. Rabbi Shimon is going to say once she gives birth, she's tamei tumas leida, but lamaisa the blood itself is not dam zivos. So we'll say so now again. So just see, holding cup over here. So remember again, the ratio of the brisa I understand. The ratio is quite simple, right? The ratio is telling me she's in active labor for 3 days, or she's bleeding for 3 days leading up to a yotzei dofen birth. So we'll say so. The first shaila is, what do I do with those 3 days of bleeding? The Rabbanon who say that Yotzei Dofen is not a regular Leida will say that she's a Zava Gidola. Rabbi Shimon who says that Yotzei Dofen is a regular Leida will say that she's not a Zava Gidola. The second part of the Braisa seeks at the status of the blood. Rabbi Shimon says that the blood is Tahar. The Rabbanon say that the blood is Tame. What's the Pshat? Where is the blood? Where is the blood? So we're talking about over here where the blood comes out naturally, right? The blood comes out in its normal fashion. The Rabbanon who say that she is a Zava will hold that the blood is Tameh. The Rabbi Shimon who holds that she is a Yoledes will ultimately say that the blood is Tahar. Va'az the Rabbi Shimon l'Tameh, v'Rabbanon l'Tamehu. And I will say both Rabbi Shimon and the Rabbanon simply going according to their respectively held reasoning. So I'm asking for Rabbi Yosef. So Rabbi Yosef is bothered by this. Chada, d'haynu reisha. So if that's the case, why do you have to state the second part of the Braisa at all? Or as well say, the second part of the Braisa is just the same application, it's the same part, it's the same principle as the first. Or as well say, what are Rabbi Shimon and the Rabbanan arguing about? What are they arguing about, fundamentally? Right? Is Yotzei Dofen considered to be Leida or not? That's what they're arguing about. So this discussion regarding the blood in the second part of the Braisa is just an application of the same machlokas. So why do you have to state it again? I will say in general, the way Braisa and Mishnayis work normally is how you state a principle or you state a machlokas in one case, we isolate the principle from the case, and let's move on. You don't have to keep giving examples of cases in which they argue about. So once you told me about their machlokas regarding her status, if she delivered a baby, Yotzei Dofen, after 3 days of bleeding, there's no need to discuss the status of the blood. It's the same discussion. Va'od, misham, makom, vlad, mashma. I want to say, furthermore, there's something else. If you notice in the Lashon of the Braisa, so the Braisa says, v'dam hayotzei misham. In the second part of the Braisa, they're arguing about blood that comes out from there. From there, I want to say, sounds like what? From there sounds like that the blood is coming out from the same place where the baby came out. Right? That's what Misham sounds like. So if we're talking about a Yotzei Dofen, it sounds like they're talking about blood that comes out from the incision, not that comes out naturally. To which they want to say, Allah Amar Rav Yosef, you're right. Here we go. Kigon sheyotza vlad v'dam derech dofen. Wow. So what's the machlokis, Rabbi Yosef? The machlokis is about the blood that comes out as a result of the cesarean section. I will say, what is the status of that blood? So the Gemara says, here we go. So both the baby and the blood came out derech dofen. Look at Rashi. Sheyatza vlad v'dam derech dofen. Ubepukta achrisihi. Rabbi Yosef, so the truth is, the Reisha and the Seifa are really reflecting two different machloksim. In the first part of the Braisa, in the Reisha, they're arguing about the status of a Yotzei Dofen birth, right? A woman has been bleeding for 3 days in her Yemei Zivos. That results in a Yotzei Dofen birth. The Rabbanan will say she's a Zava Gidola, because Yotzei Dofen is not halachically considered a Leida. Rabbi Shimon will say, no, Yotzei Dofen is considered a Leida, and therefore, again, she is not Yoledes, but Zov, she's a Yoledes. The second part of the Braisa, I will say, deals with a separate type of machlokas. Ultimately, what? What's the status of blood that comes out Yotzei Dofen? Right? The first part of the Braisa is the discussion about what's the status of a vlad, of a baby that comes out Yotzei Dofen. Second part of the Braisa, what's the status of blood that comes out Yotzei Dofen? Rashi says again, let's look at Rashi, Sheyotza vlad v'dam derech dofen, ubepukta achrisi, it's a certain machlokas, v'lava koshi koi, it's not talking about, again, labor, dereisha ayri kishiyotza dam derech rechem kodem leida. Shabbos say, watch this. So says the Gemara, they're arguing about it as follows. What is the status of uterine blood that does not come out naturally? So I'll say, so remember again, what happens if you have blood that was in the uterus, but doesn't exit the body in the normal fashion. For example, in this case over here, where you have blood that's coming out, again, through the Yotzei Dofen, right, through the cesarean section, the blood was in the uterus, but ultimately, again, never came out naturally. What's the status of that blood? So the Gemara says, Mar Savar, one opinion holds, Mikar Mikomo Tame. So we'll say one opinion holds that Halacha L'maisa, the Makar, even if blood passes through the Makar, if the blood does not exit the body naturally, that blood is still Tame. Right? By virtue of the fact that it was in the Makar, ultimately, again, that makes it Tame. Umar Savar, that we'll say that would be the opinion of the Rabbanon. Umar Savar, on the other hand, Rabbi Shimon holds, Mikar Mikomo Tahar. Halacha L'maisa, just because blood was in the Makar, does not automatically make it tummy. It's only tummy when? If the blood mamish exits the body in the normal fashion. Look at Rashi, it's incredible. Rabban and Sari Makar Makomo Tame, Hilchach, Tipas Dametame. Va'af agav de derech dofen lav re'iyahi letame esaisha, Tomas Shiva, miu tipa atzma mitama bimaga, mishum denaga bimakar. Omekar mekamotame, Rabbi Shimon Savar mekar mekamotar, milatame tipano gaspo, hilchach ki asa dam derech tof, and tar milatame, o ki dam makidami, vichi asa nami derech rechem, tar koi meziva, hecha daleka shofi, this is fine. So let's watch this. So let's say, so their argument in the Seifa is something different. What their argument will say is, what is the status of blood that comes out via the incision for the cesarean section? So the Rabbanon will hold, once blood was in the Makar, ultimately, again, that blood becomes Tame. And I will say, we're going to see, it becomes Tame with a lesser form of Tumah, but it's Tame nevertheless. Therefore, I will say, amazingly enough, what the Rabbanon will say is like this. What's the status of a baby born, Derech Dofen, according to the Rabbanon, what's the status? It's not a Leida. It's not considered a Leida. Interestingly enough, however, the blood that comes out with that baby, right, as part of that scission, will be metame the woman. Now let's be clear. What type of tumah we're going to see this? Not tumas leida. Tumas maga. The blood itself is tame. Ultimately, when the woman comes in contact with it externally, ultimately it'll make her tame. Again, a lesser form of tumah, but tumah nevertheless. Rabbi Shimon, interestingly enough, holds that what? That Yotzei Dofen is considered a halachic leida. Yet, interestingly enough, he holds that the only time that the blood is metame is halach lamais, when it comes out normally. But if the blood comes out via the Yotzei Dofen incision, then what? Then halach lamais, that does not convey tumah, because he holds mekar mekomo tahar. Just because blood was inside of the uterus does not automatically make it tame. It remains tahar. Omrei Shlakish. So Shlakish is l'divrei hametame b'dam metame b'isha. So we'll say, so interestingly enough, so Shlakish says, according to the Rabbanon, who hold that the blood is tame, ultimately again, metame b'isha. They should hold that what? That halacha l'maisa, the blood is therefore metame. The woman, look at Rashi, metame b'isha. Tumas shiva mishum ri'yas nida. Va'af agav debad derech dofen. So therefore, we'll say, according to the Rabbanon, who hold that makar makomo tame, as soon as blood comes in contact with the uterus, ultimately the blood is tame. Therefore, when the blood comes out, even through the incision of Yotzei Dofen, the woman should be tame tumas nida. The devre hametayer bedam metar biisha. According ultimately to Rabbi Shimon, who holds that the blood is tahar. Why? Because he holds mikar makomo tame. Mikar makomo tahar. Then ultimately, when the blood comes out, it shouldn't impact the woman. Rabbi Yochanan says no. Af ledivrei hametame bedam metar biisha. So we'll say, watch this. Rabbi Yochanan says, even according to the opinion who says that mikar mekomo tame, which means any blood that is in the uterus by definition is going to be tame, and therefore ultimately when it comes out through the incision of Yotzei Dofen, right? That blood is tame. Nevertheless, the woman is tahar. The woman is tahar. Why? Va'az Rabbi Yochanan letamei da'amar Rabbi Yochanan mishur Rabbi Shimon Yochai minayin she'ein isha tmeya ad she'yetze madve derech ervasa. Because I will say there's another halacha over here. And that halacha says, how do we know that a woman only becomes tamei tumas nida when the blood exits the body in a normal fashion, in a normal flow? She'ne'emar v'ish asher yishkav es isha dava Vigila es ervasa es mikora he'ara. As the pasuk says, if a man will go ahead and have relations with Isha Dava. So I'll say Dava in this context literally means flowing. Talking about over here, a man who has relations with a woman who is in Nida. V'gilas ervasa, he uncovered her nakedness. Es mikara ha'ara. Melami, what do we learn from this? She'in Isha Tmeya, ad she'yetze madve derech ervasa. I will say from this pasuk of Dava, from this phrase of Dava and ervasa, we learn that a woman is only considered to be a Nida when she experiences a flow of blood and a natural way through the vaginal canal and exiting the body in a natural fashion. Sefer Rabbah said, this is very interesting. So halacha lemaisa, what the Gemara is suggesting over here, Rabbi Yochanan is suggesting over here, is that even according to the Rabbanon, just follow this just a moment, even according to the Rabbanon who hold mekar mekomo tame, which means any blood that comes in contact with the uterus by definition is tame. If that blood exits the body via the yotzei dofen, via an incision, a cesarean section, not naturally, but exits the body that way, that blood may can convey tuma, but it's not what? It's not tumas nida. Because tumas nida could only occur when ultimately, again, the blood exits the body in a normal fashion. So we'll say it's kind of just to bring everything together over here. So what it comes out is we have a number of really fascinating machloks unfolding over here. Of course, the major machlokes that we are focusing on is the machlokes in Rabbi Shimon and the Rabbanon regarding yotzei dofen. Is yotzei dofen a birth or not? Rabbi Shimon ultimately saying yes, the Rabbanon saying no. Another ramification that Rabbi says, what happens if a woman bleeds 3 days leading up to a yotzei dofen birth? And that bleeding is taking place during her yemei zivos. The Rabbanon will say, ultimately again, because yotzei dofen is not a leida, therefore she's yoledes bezov. Rabbi Shimon will say, because yotzei dofen is a leida, she's not yoledes bezov. What about blood that comes out of the yotzei dofen incision? What's the status of that blood? So Rabbi says, so this now is a separate machlokes. Rabbi Shimon says, the blood is tahar. Why is the blood tahar? Because Rabbi Shimon holds makar mikomo tahar. That ultimately, again, just because blood is in the uterus does not make it tame. Therefore, blood that comes out of the incision will be tar. The Rabbanon will say, mikar mekomo tame, the uterus itself is tame. Any blood that's there is tame. Therefore, when the blood comes out from the incision, she's tameah. But what kind of tumah? One thing is clear is, we don't know yet, but one thing is for sure, which is what? It's not tumas nida. Why is it not tumas nida? I will say because everybody is going to agree that in order halacha lemaisa for a woman to become a nida, what has to happen? The blood has to exit the body in a normal fashion. If the blood doesn't exit the body in a normal fashion, then halacha lemaisa, she is not tameya tumas nida. Beautiful. Amrei Shlakish, Mishrim Yehuda Nisiyah. So we'll say, the Gemara goes on. So Shlakish says as follows, Mikar Shene'ekar, listen to this case. Let's say a woman has a collapsed uterus, right? So literally what it means is the makar, the uterus, was uprooted from its place, it collapsed, and it fell to the ground. But I want to say, now what they're really talking about over here is as follows. A piece of the uterus exits the body. So she expels a piece of the uterus. So what's the halacha? Tmeya. Ultimately, again, she's tmeya. Shene'emar. Now each of them quotes the pasuk over from Yechezkel. Yan hishafich nichushteich vatigala ervaseich. So if you look at Rashi just a moment, Rashi says shenekar chatichas basar. So a piece of the uterus comes out of her. So ultimately, again, the Brisa says, Rabbi Shlakish says that she is tameo. Quotes this pasuk. Rashi's nichushteich is shulayich. So what they say here, the girls understand the pasuk that because hashafach nichushteich, your nichushteich was spilled out. They're understanding nechushteich to mean shulayach, right? Also, the shulayim is like the bottom, right? The bottom of the utensil. So they're understanding it to be a reference over here to the uterus. V'hainu mikar v'atigali ervaseich. Alma ne'ekar v'neshbach la'aretz karila erva kiluhu bimkomo hilchach tamei. So you see that when the uterus comes out, it's still called the erva, and therefore she's tameah. To which the Gemara says, l'mai. Now, when you say she's tameah, what type of tumah? Shiva, if you want to say it wasn't. Excuse me. If you want to say that she's Tame Tumas Nida, that can't be why. Dam Amrachmana Velochaticha. As Rabbi Yossi, when it comes to Tumas Nida, woman is only a Nida when, if Halacha L'maisa, she expels blood. One thing is clear, which is what Rabbi Yossi saying, that a piece of the uterus is not blood. So it can't be Tumas Nida. Rather, Ela Tumas Erev. Rather, Rabbi Yossi, what it means is like this, that if you hold that the uterus itself is Tumea, so therefore when the uterus exits the body, she has come in contact with a Dover Hatame. What does that do? It conveys a very basic low-level tuma called tumas erev, which essentially means what? She becomes tumea that day, could go to the mikvah. It's a one-day tuma, and ultimately again becomes tar at night. Fine. She will say, so I'm Rabbi Yochanan. That's the end of that discussion. Rabbi Yochanan, mekar she'ezia kishtei tipe maglios tumea. What's the very interesting? Rabbi Yochanan says that if the uterus expels two drops, Rashi says over tipe margalios dam lavan vitzalul. So he said this is talking about some type of whitish, clearish emission. If you know for sure that it's from the uterus, ultimately again she's tamea. She's tamea lemay. Now what does this mean? Tamea for what? Ile malu tumas shiva. If you want to say that she's tamea, tumas shiva means tumas nida. If you want to say that she becomes a nida, that can't be. Why? Because chamisha dvarim tamea and beisha v'sulo. We'll say ultimately what? We know that there are five types of blood that ultimately, again, are tamea tumas nida and no more. The Gemara says, ela lo tumas erev. Rather, what it means is like this. Suppose it's actually quite interesting. So if you go with the idea that makar mekomo tamea, that ultimately, again, the uterus itself, that the uterus itself is tamea, what that means, Rabbi Yossi, is that even in case number one, if a piece of the uterus exits her body, she's tamea. Why? Because she has come in contact with a davar hatame. Now, granted, it only conveys a very low level tuma of tumas erev. Same idea if she expels some type of uterine liquid, these two droplets, right? Uterine liquid, if she comes in contact with them, meaning as that exits the body, and therefore, again, she comes in contact with it, it will convey to her tuma. What type of tuma? Tumas erev. Again, low level tuma, just she's tummy until that night. Vedav katarti, but this is only if she expels two droplets. Aval chado, but if it's only one droplet, then what? Imar ma'al ma'asya. Then I will say, ultimately, again, we would attribute that to something other than the uterus. Good. So remember, again, now we begin an interesting discussion. So the Mishnah told us that one of the novelties by Hilchos Nida, Rabbi Yossi, is what? That the blood, the uterine blood, need not exit the body in order for a woman to go ahead and become Tamei Tumas Nida. It's very important. Rabbi Yossi, as opposed to other types of emissions, like Balkeri or Zav, where ultimately, again, you're only Tamei when? When the emission leaves the body, when it comes to Nida, she is Tamea already when the blood is inside the body. When? So the Lashon of the Mishnah was even Bebeis HaChitzon. So we'll say, we assume, what does Beis HaChitzon mean? Or what is Beis HaChitzon not? Well, it's a very open-ended question. Beis HaChitzon is not what? Not the uterus. So the blood has left the uterus, right? Because obviously when the blood is in the uterus itself, that's not where blood has left the uterus and is somewhere still internally, what we call the outer chamber. So the Gemara says, hey, niu Beis HaChitzon. What's the Beis HaChitzon? Amrei Shlakish, kol shetinokas yosheves veniras. It refers to the part of the body where if a young girl is sitting, it would be the part of the erva that would be exposed when she is sitting. So we'll say, so therefore it's still inside of the body, but would be visible outside of the body. Amr Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan says, no. Oso makam galuihu eitz al sheretz. And we'll say, that's considered to be an exposed part of the body. So we'll say, see, he's getting over here into tumas sheretz. The halacha is that if a person has contact with a sheretz, they contract tumas sheretz, but only if the sheretz touches them on an if the contact is on an exposed part of the body. Let's say there's contact with the sheretz, but it's in quote unquote a non, say the sheretz comes internally to the individual. Halacha l'maisa, that does not convey tuma. So this part of the body is exposed legabe tuma sheretz. Ella bein ashinayim kilifnim. I'm sorry, I lost the place. Ella am Rabbi Yochanan ad bein ashinayim. Now that Rabbi Yossi, it means this interesting lashon over here until the teeth. So apparently, what it's referring to, we're gonna dispel this in just a moment. But ad bein ashinayim, until the internal part of the woman that's called bein ashinayim, which Rabbi Yossi is some internal part between ultimately again the uterus and the vaginal canal. Ibayluhu bein ashinayim kilifnim o kilachutz. Is the area of Bnei Shinayim considered inside or outside? Tashma, the Tani Rebbe, Zakai, ad Bnei Shinayim, Asman, Kilifnim. Bemas Nisa Tana, Makom Disha. Rabbi Yossi, here's the definition we're going to go for. So the Gemara says, what does Beis HaChitzon mean? Until the place of threshing. My Makom Disha, Amrav Yehuda, Makom Sha Shamash Dash. The Rabbi Yossi, what's Beis HaChitzon? Beis HaChitzon is the area inside of the vaginal canal that ultimately, again, that the man is able to get to during bia, during relations. So what it's saying over here is even in that part of the body, if blood is there, so blood has been released from the uterus, exited the cervix, and ultimately, again, is in the vaginal canal, even though, again, it might be really internal into our body, place of the body that's only accessed during bia, Halacha lemaisa, she is temea tomas nida. Well, so we'll stop over here for today. We're going to continue in this discussion, still trying to define the Beis HaChitzon.